This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
A lot of attention is given to the mental health of young people, but older Australians are often facing enormous challenges. The death of loved ones, physical health issues, and social isolation can all affect the mental health of older Australians. So what can we do to improve the mental health of older Australians? How can we set up our society so that older people can live healthy, active, and fulfilling lives? Professor Ian Hickey was a founding director of Headspace and the first chief executive of Beyond Blue, but today he's the co-director of the Brain and Mind Centre at Sydney Uni, and he's with me to discuss this. Hi, Ian.
Good morning.
What are the main mental health issues facing older Australians?
Well, people may be surprised to find that anxiety and depression are actually the most common mental health problems. Most people think about dementia and things like Alzheimer's disease and loss of memory and cognitive function as being the biggest problems, but actually anxiety and depression, often in the context which you just mentioned, increasing physical health problems, social isolation, changes in a person's life, often retiring too early, getting disconnected from things that really matter, often are the context in which mental health problems develop.
Okay, what do you think are some of the common misconceptions around the mental health of older Australians?
Well, first, every time a person has a behavioural change or has trouble with their memory or a change in their behaviour, that they're developing dementia. So we've done a number of surveys over the years where people go, oh, look, I've noticed some changes, and that'll be Alzheimer's disease or dementia, and nothing can be done. So they don't seek help. They don't go to a doctor. Their relatives are afraid. They don't go and get medical assessment. They fail to find out that they may actually have a treatable condition that, if it were appropriately looked after, would lead to an improvement in their function, their memory, their behaviour.
Okay. I imagine that a lot of older people would be stoic about their feelings and not want to see a psychologist or seek treatment for depression. So how can we get older Australians to get effective treatment for depression?
Well, it is interesting who's stoic or who doesn't ask. I think historically what you say is true, but if you look in recent decades, as we've done with a number of surveys, older people actually have years of experience. They've been through lots of things. They've seen lots. And in an era when we do talk about it more, many older people are actually much more open, particularly older women, about their experiences. But often their relatives, and sometimes their younger, dare I say, doctors, are actually not so willing to talk with older people because they think, oh, I don't want to intrude, I don't want to embarrass the person, I don't want to ask questions they may not want to answer. But in reality, attitudes have changed. So, in fact, what we find is that older Australians often have some of the highest, what we call, mental health literacy or understanding of these issues through sheer life experience.
Wow.
They've been through a lot. They cope with a lot, but they don't know. They don't necessarily know how to get help or what help's available.
Yeah, I was really shocked to learn in this info that came out with the budget that men over 85 have more than twice the suicide rate of younger people. And it's not an issue that I'd ever heard about before, this kind of issues with older people. So how do you explain why we as a society haven't really, I guess, come to grips with this issue of the mental health of older people?
First, I think we have a really unfair idea about ageing, that ageing is just a bad thing. So you just get older, bits don't work, and then finally your brain doesn't work. And many older people feel that they're a burden in that kind of situation. They don't want to be a burden on their families, on their relatives, on their kids. But worse, society itself just expects people to sort of grind to a halt and not be very useful as they age. Now, as people's physical health has improved, that has become less and less and less true. Many older people lead very productive lives. And to stay mentally wealthy, they need to stay connected and stay in work, in social groups, in productive relationships with their kids, with their grandkids, and with their friends over the course of their life. It's often physical health problems that intrude and actually stop people being able to get out, walk, drive, connect with their friends, socialise in the ways that they normally would, that lie behind a lot of the mental health difficulties that develop.
Okay, so with everything that you just said then about a connection and meaningful work and community and all those things that would help older people, would those things, do you think, prevent mental illness in older people? And if so, what should we be doing about this? Because obviously prevention is better than a cure.
Absolutely. So these are some of the really key issues that are going on at the moment. Not only will they prevent depression, there's increasing evidence they'll prevent dementia and cognitive decline. You've got to keep using your brain as you age. And you use your brain most in actually connecting with other people, with your family, with your kids, with your community groups in social interaction. That's the most important cognitive task we as humans do, is use our brain to connect with others. And that's that disconnection, often as older people get are in their own homes and increasingly isolated in their own homes due to physical health problems, that we set up a situation that leaves them abandoned. So in the budget at the moment, you see a considerable focus on expanding the number of Australians who need what are called residential care packages or packages to support them to live in their home effectively. And there have been up to 100,000 Australians essentially on waiting lists to get more support at home so they can continue to function. And so I think the big issue here is how do we adapt to the fact that it is not inevitable that you'll move to a nursing home or other sort of residential care. People want to stay in their home, but to be mentally healthy, they need to stay connected. They can't end up in their own home just on their own.
Mm.
And many older people, particularly many older women, find themselves in that situation. And the suicide rate in older men is particularly high in men whose wives die prematurely and they are left on their own to cope in a situation where they've never been on their own their whole life, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
And are extremely isolated and very prone to depression in that context.
Okay, so that gives it a bit, yeah, definitely gives it a bit more context. So it sounds like there's a lot of work to be done in working through this as, you know, moving forward.
Well, if you're going to see ageing differently, most of us will live productive lives, and unless we have physical health problems, and I must say there are also physical health problems affecting the brain, so particularly blood vessel disease and other sets of problems, but we are doing so much better with that now in midlife that most people will have a productive last phase of their life. And the issue is to make sure it is very productive and also very enjoyable.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of discussion about sort of running out of useful life as distinct from it's another phase of incredibly useful life, connected with grandkids, connected with other people, continuing to contribute. So don't think about just being stuck in your own home. That's the worst outcome.
Yeah.
What we've got to think about is how do people stay active and connected?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Thank you so much for helping us think about this, Ian.
It's a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Professor Ian Hickey from the Brain and Mind Centre at the University of Sydney, and we've been talking about the mental health of older Australians.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.